If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins and Mariners from Seattle, game two tonight. Game three is Sunday matinee, a later start inside Twins at 2 o'clock. Lineup card 2:30, first pitch 3:10 as the road trip continues. Bobby Nightingale joins us from the Star Tribune. Bobby, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good, good. Some miles. You joined the Twins in Arizona. Phil Miller was in Oakland. I'm sure Phil kind of fought for that final trip to the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, everyone likes Seattle. Yeah. One of those where the calendar worked in my favor, but one of the better road trips, a good stadium, good weather usually when it's not raining, and obviously you're right there on the water with the stadium, so great views too.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of things. Number one, tough loss on Friday night for the Twins and tight one-run ball games. Ouch, this one really stings. 3-2-10.
Yeah, and it basically came down to defensive mistakes. I mean, you look at how they lost that game. Mitch Haniger scores the first run when basically he was out by 20 feet going kind of a weird send, but sent to the plate trying to score from first on a double, and Christian Vasquez drops the ball, and he's able to score the first run that way. Game-tying run scores when Jose Miranda tried to tag someone. Miranda thought he was going to be called automatically out for going down to the baseline. He wasn't. Just because I don't think Jose Miranda knew exactly the rule, and then right after he missed the tag, he made a poor throw, and throwing air leads to another run, and then even the walk-off wasn't even a hit. I mean, it was just a slow dribbler that Cole Sands really had no play on, but even his desperation throw was wild to the plate. So one of those, the Twins probably knew they weren't going to score a ton of runs against Logan Gilbert. He had two shutout starts coming into it, but they were able to get two runs and weren't able to make it hold.
A couple of things stand out. Solid start for Bailey Ober, and that was something that the manager, Rocco Baldelli, talked about postgame. Six runs, two hits, one run. It was earned, nine strikeouts, three walks. Maybe the three walks stands out a little bit, but still a good start for Ober in game one Friday night.
Yeah, and I mean, especially coming off the one he had in Oakland, his first career complete game. I mean, you see it a lot. I mean, guys like who throw no hitters, there's not many complete games anymore, but just kind of the letdown in the next start. You know, you have all that adrenaline pumping, you're pitching more than usual. Bailey Ober didn't throw a ton of pitches in his complete game, but still the first time he's had to go nine innings in a start in his career. So I know the Twins were kind of curious to see how he bounced back, and he passed that test. I mean, he's striking out guys at an incredible rate, and three walks, something he wishes he had back, but it feels like that's kind of nitpicking. I mean, he wasn't as dominant as he was in his complete game when he kind of mowed down the A's lineup for six straight innings, but pretty close to it, only gave up two hits.
Bobby Nightingale joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Twins and Mariners game two of the three-game set coming up tonight as the trip out west continues. Carlos Correa really swinging the bat. I mean, it's been huge what Correa has been able to do. A two-run home run looked like it might stand up. It didn't, but still, Carlos Correa going good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you could see the energy sucked out of the Twins dugout when he got hit by that pitch in the last game in Arizona, especially the way he reacted. I think everyone thought it was broken. And, you know, that would have taken him out a month or two. And so you could kind of see the energy just get sucked out of the Twins dugout when that happened. And I was impressed. I mean, he was even in the lineup yesterday. It was his way to talk back into it. He's still playing with some soreness in his wrist. And then the big swing hits a two-run homer off Logan Gilbert, the first run Gilbert gave up in 21 innings. So it's quite where he is. I mean, it's just he's having a dominant offensive season. He kind of predicted it in the offseason. He said, you know, now that I'm healthy, I've had a chance to work on my swing for the first time in a few years. Being at full health, you're going to see a different Carlos Correa in the batter's box, and he's proven that this year.
Yeah, and that is an argument that some, including your colleague at the Star Tribune, Lavelle Neal III, who's a columnist, has made. You know, he is making elite money, and he is a great defensive shortstop. No one's ever argued that in his tenure with the Twins, but the production with the bat needs to be there when you're making that kind of money. That's just the reality.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing better than even his career norms. I mean, if this holds up for the entire season, this will be the best offensive season of his career. You know, he's never been a guy like Corey Seager, that type of offensive player. I mean, I think he plays better defense, and you get a ton of leadership qualities from Carlos Correa. But when you're adding the offense to the mix, I mean, he's one of the best shortstop in the game when he's going right now. Be curious to see if he makes the All-Star team. I mean, it's just one of those kind of a loaded position this year with like Gunnar Henderson in Baltimore is an MVP candidate. Bobby Witt's doing great in Kansas City. Anthony Volpe in New York. So even with Carlos Correa having such a great month and first half, you know, he might be the odd man out just based off playing shortstop in the American League.
Twins and Mariners coming up tonight in Seattle. And then, of course, the final game of the series tomorrow, and we mentioned that is a later start. It is a matinee with our Inside Twins program at 2, lineup card at 2:30, first pitch at 3:10. Tonight, Pablo Lopez on the mound, and another key start as he returns to form. It's been a roller coaster ride for Pablo this year, and another important step against a good team on the road.
Absolutely. I mean, he's kind of said it himself. I mean, this season's kind of been one step forward, two or three steps back, almost kind of that type of roller coaster. So he's coming off a good start in Oakland. A lot of encouraging things. Pete Mackey thought they found some things, the pitching coach, after he got beat up in his previous start before Oakland. So we'll see if he can carry it forward against a quality lineup that Seattle has. But, I mean, it's one of those – it's been weird, I mean, because you look at it, his strikeout rate, it's a touch lower than it was last year, but not significantly so. His sweeper's getting hit around a little bit more. But otherwise, I mean, it's just you know, it's not like he's working on new pitches or he lost a pitch or anything like that. It's kind of the same guy, just getting hit a little bit more. Seems like any time he misses a pitch, it's right down the middle and gets crushed for a homer. So that'll be the key for him, is just kind of improving his command a little bit better and staying out of the middle of the plate.
Bobby Nightingale joining us. And, Bobby, you posted a story yesterday at StarTribune.com, and I wanted to get your thoughts about this because I know Twins fans are really waiting for the appearance of this youngster, highly touted. But you did a piece on Brooks Lee, and it's very interesting what he's been through, and maybe has already missed an opportunity to get called up to the major leagues with injuries, but there's no doubt his time is coming.
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable at AAA, one of the best hitters there. And for him, I mean, the most important thing is he's been really good. He's a switch hitter on both sides of the batter's box. So, you know, if that's the case, I mean, he's a guy that you're looking at as a possible everyday starter when he gets up here. Kind of the only thing holding him back right now is just kind of the lack of everyday playing time. I mean, you look at the infield, he's a shortstop in AAA but could play second or third, but you have Royce Lewis at third, Carlos Correa at short, and Willie Castro at second. I mean, all three of those guys, you know, Royce Lewis won't make the All-Star team, but Castro has a case for it, Correa has a case for it, and Royce Lewis is, you know, outside of the last four or five games, been, you know, a dominant hitter for them. So not really a chance for him to play every day. I've seen some people say, like, you know, take away Kyle Farmer's spot and give it to him. But, you know, Kyle Farmer's not getting that many at-bats right now either. So they won't call him up unless it's an everyday opportunity. I mean, just as a young kid, still the youngest guy on the St. Paul Saints. So as long as he's getting everyday at-bats somewhere and he keeps producing, you know, his time will be sooner than later.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where he may get that opportunity in the major leagues and may get sent back. Those guys maybe make it to the major leagues but don't stick the first time. It takes a trip or two occasionally. Maybe that won't be the case with him, but it is all about patience and you're making the most of those opportunities. But like I say, sometimes the guys bounce back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look at the guys who he's with in St. Paul right now. I mean, he's second baseman's Edward Julian, and in right field's Matt Wallner, and those guys were, you know, lights out in the big leagues last year and then kind of had that sophomore slump. Yeah, but it's hard to stick. I mean, Baltimore Orioles had the number one prospect in the game, Jackson Holliday, Matt Holliday's kid, and I think in his first 2 weeks, he only had one or two hits and then got sent down and hasn't been back up. So, you know, everyone talks about it's kind of a there's a bigger gap between AAA and the majors than there used to be just in terms of the quality of pitching that those guys are facing. You know, the automatic strike zone, too, in AAA. But there are some, you know, key factors that teams want to see from guys to show that they're ready for a big jump in the talent in pitching they're going to face.
And then, Bobby, final thought about this Mariners team. It seems to me that they're maybe one of the surprises in the game this year, leading the division right now and pretty comfortably over the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, the huge thing for them is their starting pitching. I mean, the Twins beat up on them in Target Field. But other than that, they've been one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I mean, Logan Gilbert's been unbelievable. Luis Castillo's always kind of one of the aces in the game. Some of the young guys have stepped up. So that's kind of carried them. And their offense, they changed some of the faces and, you know, adding Jorge Polanco and some other guys to try to cut down on their strikeouts and put the ball in play more often. You know, Julio Rodriguez isn't even having that great of a season, and their offense is doing all right. So, I mean, it's one of those. It's a scary team that you think about, especially in the playoffs, like a playoff series with the starting pitching they have, a lights-out bullpen that shut down the Twins offense in the last late innings yesterday. I mean, it's a scary combo when they're healthy and pitching as well as they are.
Well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins and Mariners from Seattle, game two tonight. Game three is Sunday matinee, a later start inside Twins at 2 o'clock. Lineup card 2:30, first pitch 3:10 as the road trip continues. Bobby Nightingale joins us from the Star Tribune. Bobby, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good, good. Some miles. You joined the Twins in Arizona. Phil Miller was in Oakland. I'm sure Phil kind of fought for that final trip to the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone likes Seattle. Yeah. one of those where the calendar worked in my favor. But, one of the better road trips, a good stadium, good weather usually when it's not raining. And obviously you're right there on the water with the stadium. So great views, too.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple of things. Number one, tough loss on Friday night for the Twins and tight one-run ball games. Ouch, this one really stings. 3-2-10.
Yeah, and it basically came down to defensive mistakes. I mean, you look at how they lost that game. Mitch Haniger scores the first run when basically he was out by 20 feet at going kind of a weird send, but sent to the plate trying to score from first on a double, and Christian Vasquez drops the ball, and he's able to score the first run that way. Game-tying run scores when Jose Miranda tried to tag someone. Miranda thought he was going to be called automatically out for going down to the baseline. He wasn't, just because I don't think Jose Miranda knew exactly the rule, and then right after he missed the tag, he made a poor throw, and throwing air leads to another run, and then even the walk-off wasn't even a hit. I mean, it was just a slow dribbler that Cole Sands really had no play on, but even his desperation throw was wild to the plate. So one of those, the Twins probably knew they weren't going to score a ton of runs against Logan Gilbert. He had two shutout starts coming into it, but they were able to get two runs and weren't able to make it hold.
A couple of things stand out. Solid start for Bailey Ober, and that was something that the manager, Rock Baldelli, talked about postgame. Six runs, two hits, one run. It was earned, nine strikeouts, three walks. Maybe the three walks stands out a little bit, but still a good start for Ober in game one Friday night.
Yeah, and I mean, especially coming off the one he had in Oakland, his first career complete game. I mean, you see it a lot. I mean, guys like who throw no hitters, you know, there's not many complete games anymore, but just kind of the letdown in the next start. You know, you have all that adrenaline pumping. You're pitching more than usual. Bailey Ober didn't throw a ton of pitches in his complete game, but still the first time he's had to go nine innings in a start in his career. So I know the Twins were kind of curious to see how he bounced back, and he passed that test. I mean, he's striking out guys at an incredible rate, and the walks, three walks, something he wishes he had back, but it feels like that's kind of nitpicking. I mean, he was quite, I mean, he wasn't as dominant as he was in his complete game when he kind of mowed down the A's lineup for six straight innings, but pretty close to it, only gave up two hits.
Bobby Nightingale joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Twins and Mariners game two of the three-game set coming up tonight as the trip out west continues. Carlos Correa really swinging the bat. I mean, it's been huge what Correa has been able to do. A two-run home run looked like it might stand up. It didn't, but still, Carlos Correa going good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you saw kind of, you could see the energy sucked out of the Twins dugout when he got hit by that pitch in the last game in Arizona. Especially the way he reacted, I think everyone thought it was broken. And you know, that would have taken him out a month or two. And so you could kind of see the energy just get sucked out of the Twins dugout when that happened. And I was impressed. I mean, he was even in the lineup yesterday. It was his way to talk back into it. He's still playing with some soreness in his wrist. And then he, the big swing hits a two-run homer off Logan Gilbert, the first run Gilbert gave up in 21 innings. So that's quite where he is. I mean, it's just he's having a dominant offensive season. He kind of predicted it in the offseason. He said, you know, now that I'm healthy, now I've had a chance to work on my swing for the first time in a few years, being at full health, you're going to see a different Carlos Correa in the batter's box, and he's proven that this year.
Yeah, and that is an argument that some, including your colleague at the Star Tribune, Lavelle Neal III, who's a columnist, has made. You know, he is making elite money, and he is a great defensive shortstop. No one's ever argued that in his tenure with the Twins, but the production with the bat needs to be there when you're making that kind of money. That's just the reality.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing better than even his career norms. I mean, if this holds up for the entire season, this will be the best offensive season of his career. You know, he's never been a guy like Corey Seager, that type of offensive player. I mean, I think he plays better defense, and you get a ton of leadership qualities from Carlos Correa. But when you're adding the offense to the mix, I mean, he's one of the best shortstop in the game when he's going right now. Be curious to see if he makes the All-Star team. I mean, it's just one of those kind of a loaded position this year with like Gunnar Henderson in Baltimore is an MVP candidate. Bobby Witt doing great in Kansas City. Anthony Volpe in New York. So even with Carlos Correa having such a great month and first half, you know, he might be the odd man out just based on playing shortstop in the American League.
Twins and Mariners coming up tonight in Seattle. And then, of course, the final game of the series tomorrow, and we mentioned that is a later start. It is a matinee with our Inside Twins program at 2, lineup card at 2:30, first pitch at 3:10. Tonight, Pablo Lopez on the mound, and another key start as he returns to form. It's been a roller coaster ride for Pablo this year, and another important step against a good team on the road.
Absolutely. I mean, he's kind of said it himself. I mean, the season's kind of been one step forward, two or three steps back, almost kind of that type of roller coaster. So he's coming off a good start in Oakland. A lot of encouraging things. Pete Mackey thought they found some things, the pitching coach, after he got beat up in his previous start before Oakland. So we'll see if he can carry it forward against a quality lineup that Seattle has. But, I mean, it's one of those – it's been weird, I mean, because you look at it, his strikeout rate, it's a touch lower than it was last year, but not significantly so. His sweeper's getting hit around a little bit more. But otherwise, I mean, it's just you know, it's not like he's working on new pitches or he lost a pitch or anything like that. It's kind of the same guy, just getting hit a little bit more. Seems like any time he misses a pitch, it's right down the middle and gets crushed for a homer. So that'll be the key for him, is just kind of improving his command a little bit better and staying out of the middle of the plate.
Bobby Nightingale joining us. And, Bobby, you posted a story yesterday at StarTribune.com, and I wanted to get your thoughts about this because I know Twins fans are really waiting for the appearance of this youngster, highly touted. But you did a piece on Brooks Lee, and it's very interesting what he's been through, and maybe has already missed an opportunity to get called up to the major leagues with injuries, but there's no doubt his time is coming.
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable at AAA, one of the best hitters there. And for him, I mean, the most important thing is he's been really good. He's a switch hitter on both sides of the batter's box. So, you know, if that's the case, I mean, he's a guy that you're looking at as a possible everyday starter when he gets up here. Kind of the only thing holding him back right now is just kind of the lack of everyday playing time. I mean, you look at the infield, he's a shortstop in AAA, but could play second or third. But you have Royce Lewis at third, Carlos Correa at short, and Willie Castro at second. I mean, all three of those guys, you know, Royce Lewis won't make the All-Star team, but Castro has a case for it, Correa has a case for it, and Royce Lewis is, you know, outside of the last four or five games, been, you know, a dominant hitter for them. So not really a chance for him to play every day. I've seen some people say, like, you know, take away Kyle Farmer's spot and give it to him. But, you know, Kyle Farmer's not getting that many at-bats right now either. So they won't call him up unless it's an everyday opportunity. I mean, just as a young kid, still the youngest guy on the St. Paul Saints. So as long as he's getting everyday at-bats somewhere and he keeps producing, you know, his time will be sooner than later.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where he may get that opportunity in the major leagues and may get sent back. Those guys maybe make it to the major leagues but don't stick the first time. It takes a trip or two occasionally. Maybe that won't be the case with him, but it is all about patience and you're making the most of those opportunities. But like I say, sometimes the guys bounce back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look at the guys who he's with in St. Paul right now. I mean, he's second baseman's Edward Julian, and in right field's Matt Walner, and those guys were, you know, lights out in the big leagues last year and then kind of had that sophomore slump. Yeah, but it's hard to stick. I mean, Baltimore Orioles had the number one prospect in the game, Jackson Holliday, Matt Holliday's kid, and I think in his first 2 weeks he only had one or two hits and then got sent down and hasn't been back up. So, you know, everyone talks about it's kind of there's a bigger gap between AAA and the majors than there used to be, just in terms of the quality of pitching that those guys are facing. You know, the automatic strike zone too in AAA. But there are some, you know, key factors that teams want to see from guys to show that they're ready for a big jump in the talent in pitching they're going to face.
And then, Bobby, final thought about this Mariners team. It seems to me that they're maybe one of the surprises in the game this year, leading the division right now and pretty comfortably over the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, the huge thing for them is their starting pitching. I mean, the Twins beat up on them at Target Field. But other than that, they've been one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I mean, Logan Gilbert's been unbelievable. Luis Castillo's always kind of one of the aces in the game. Some of the young guys have stepped up. So that's kind of carried them. And their offense, they changed some of the faces and, you know, adding Jorge Polanco and some other guys to try to cut down on their strikeouts and put the ball in play more often. You know, Julio Rodriguez isn't even having that great of a season, and their offense is doing all right. So, I mean, it's one of those – it's a scary team that you think about, especially in the playoffs, like a playoff series with the starting pitching they have, a lights-out bullpen that shut down the Twins' offense in the last late innings yesterday. I mean, it's a scary combo when they're healthy and pitching as well as they are.
Well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.